the other season. So if you can just wait on me and know I'm working when you're not looking, I can renew your strength. So when that season opens up, I will bless you in a way and give you the strength you need to go through. But we don't like to wait. We don't like to wait. But he goes on to say that those who wait will mount up like wings as eagles. One thing I found out is that eagles, when hurricanes happen, they don't flap their wings. They just soar because the wind does the work. I'm here to tell you that the Spirit's doing the work. And he's just asking you to lift your wings out and say, you don't need to be flapping your wings right now. Quit trying to work so hard to make this thing work. Quit trying to make this relationship work. Quit trying to get your kids back in church. I know you've been working your hardest, but now you just need to wait on me. You need to worship. You need to wait. You need to renew your strength. Let the winds of your storm lift you up higher, not bring you down lower as you wait. Some of you are exhausted from waiting, but I'm telling you, God's working. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. If you're in a waiting season right now, we're going to go into more about that. But if you're in that right now, could you just surrender to God and lift both your hands up to Him if you're comfortable to say, God, I'm in a waiting. I don't know if you're waiting for someone in your life. I don't know if you're waiting for a job. I don't know if you're waiting for a child. I know we have a lot of people waiting. They're in a waiting season right now. Lord, I pray right now that you meet us here. I pray, Lord, that you would renew our strength this morning. That we came in tired, but we're going to leave strengthened. We came in exhausted, but we're going to leave refreshed. I pray, Father God, that those who wait upon the Lord, they will renew their strength. Not they might, they will. So I pray whatever we are anxious about, whatever we are fearing about, whatever we are worried about, I pray we would turn our worry into worship and that we would wait upon the Lord. I pray that we would stop flapping our wings so hard and we would just soar in your presence, Father God. Give us rest this morning. Refresh us in your presence. And Lord, show us that when we wait, you can do the most work because we take our hands off the wheel and we allow you to do it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can we give God praise that he is in us and through us in the waiting season? Man, those who wait on the Lord. We're going to talk more about that subject here in a second, but my name is Sean Jensen. I'm the lead pastor here at Authentic Church, and man, I'm so excited with what we got going on today. At the end of my message, we are going to see people go public with their faith through baptism. And guys, our whole church started for stuff like this. Don't ever let this get comfortable. I mean, we see this all the time now, so sometimes we allow this, it's just normal to us, and we forget how huge this is. That Jesus rose people from the grave, that Jesus healed lame people, that Jesus opened the eyes of the blind, and yet he says the greatest miracle is when someone goes from death to life. Don't mistake what God's doing today. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. I don't know if I believe in miracles. You're about ready to witness some today in the presence of God because we see it every week. And his presence. So I'm glad that you came out, and the family members, if you came out to support them, thank you for coming to Authentic Church. We just want to let you know that you can belong before you believe. I don't know what your beliefs are, or maybe you're just here to support a loved one and you're scared to come here because you thought the roof was going to cave in. It might because it's an old building, but not because you're here. Hey, oh gosh, that's not safe. I'm just kidding. But we're glad you're here, and we're going to go into a brand new series called You Must Be This Tall to Ride. One is something I'm very excited about sharing. We have this carnival theme. We have some popcorn, and we're having a carnival at the end. But we're going to talk more about this subject on You Must Be This Tall to Ride, and what that means is we're going to talk about growth and how God has some of the amazing things that he wants us to experience, but that happens sometimes after we grow. It happens when we grow. But we're going to look at the scripture in Exodus. What's happening in this Exodus is the Israelites, which is God's chosen people, they were in slavery, listen, for 430 years. They were under the whip. They were under the whip, and they were under bondage, and they were under Pharaoh's care in Egypt, and they were being hurt and being beaten, and they were in this slavery mindset for 430 years. And finally, God says, Moses, enough is enough. I've heard the cries of my people. I'm thankful that God hears the cries of his people. And he says, I want to save them from slavery. He sends Moses. Moses goes. We've heard it before. Pharaoh, Pharaoh, oh, let my people go. And Pharaoh's like, hold up. What did you just sing to me? No, that's when it was written. Look at the Bible. It's true. And just kidding. And so they were going to move out. And so the plagues happened. God brought the Israelites out. It was huge. Pharaoh let them go. And as God was leading them out through Moses, they were going to go a normal route to the promised land that God had for them. He had a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey of blessing. God said, I'm going to take you to your own land that you can be in. And so how many people know that when God says we're going somewhere, we know how we're going to get there? And then the next day it changes. You see, they had a route in their mind of where they were going, but God said, I'm going to take you a different way. And that's where we're going to pick up. If you guys want to throw the scripture up, it's found in Exodus 13. It says this, when Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through Philistine territory. Man, if God would just lead us the way we think is the right way. But instead, it said, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land, God said, if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt, back into slavery. So God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. Thus, the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. Armed and ready for battle. Obviously, they were ready for battle, but God said, no, you're not. Did you notice that? He said, they're not ready for battle, but they were ready for battle. How many people know sometimes we think we're ready for something where God says, you're not ready yet? And he loves us so much to tell us that. So we're going to talk about that today and what's happening in the scripture. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for what you're doing in this place already. I pray, Lord, as you speak to us and through us, I pray your Holy Spirit would meet us here. I pray, Lord, as we talk about the subject of growing, that we would have this anticipation to want to grow, Father God, because you truly have the best in store for us. I pray, Father God, that you would bless us today. Bless us with your word. I pray, Father God, Lord, that you would be with everyone in here and for the baptisms, that it's going to be incredible. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Find a few people next to you and give them the name of this message before you're seated. It's called the ejection seat. Say, are you ready for the rejection seat? I said ejection. Are you ready for the rejection seat? Has anybody ever rode the ride, the ejection seat? Anyone gotten one of those crazy things, a chair with the bungee thing? Anybody do that death trap? Anybody? Yeah, me and my brother did it, and it was the dumbest thing we've ever done in our life. I look back like, we should not be here anymore. Like, the rejection seat. The whole point of this series, me and my wife went to Myrtle Beach a month ago, and we actually went to a carnival there, and God speaks to me at carnivals. I don't know how he speaks to you, but he speaks to me at carnivals. Jesus loves carnies. I don't care what you think about them. He loves them. And so we were at the carnival, and my daughter is a daredevil, much like myself. I love rides. I can go on any ride. It takes me time sometimes, but I will scream like a girl, but at least I will enjoy it. And my daughter loves rides, and so she took me on, you know, like the Tilt-A-Whirl, and I vomited because I haven't been on that in a long time. And she goes, let's do it again. I was like, let's go over here for a second. Now I know why my dad didn't ride all rides all day. Like, one's good right now. Got more weight on me, so I'm throwing my body around like it's like, oh my gosh. And so she's riding rides, and her cousin is with us, and he's a little bit taller, and she sees this ride that catches her eye, and she's like, that one. And I was like, oh dear God, this is terrifying, because she's my daughter, right? I was like thinking about her. And so she goes up, and she gets to go on the ride, and Bryson is her cousin. He goes up, and he's going to ride too, and we're going to ride with her. And I'm like, I'm going to puke. And so I walked up, and the guy said, hold up. And Bryson stepped up to the line. He says, you must be this tall to ride. And Bryson is a little bit taller, so he gets to go on. And Avery is so excited to ride. And she goes up to the thing, and she stands up against it. And she's like this short of the ride. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. Until I saw her face. She started crying. And she was crying. She was, Daddy, I just want to ride the ride. It looks so much fun. Why won't they let me ride the ride? She felt rejected. Has anyone ever felt rejected before? I was like, who hurt my daughter? I was going to find that person and be like, what do you mean she can't ride the ride, right? But inside, as a father, I knew that it was for her protection. But I don't know about you, but I saw that her face and how she felt rejected because she wanted to go into something, but then she was rejected. And I think a lot of us have been rejected in our life. But I don't want to talk about the rejection you face, you know, that comes from people or on Facebook and all that. I want to talk about a deeper rejection. Before we deal with people, some of you feel rejected by God. I want to talk about that because some of you have been praying prayers for so long, and yet you feel like God still hasn't answered them, and you see that as a rejection. I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about how you're frustrated with God. You may not tell anybody you're frustrated with God, but we know. We know a little bit what you say, and I've been in positions where I feel frustrated with God because maybe you're praying for that certain person that you're just like, I just want to start dating. I want to find someone I've been waiting for so long, yet God, where are they? Or a job, or maybe you're waiting for a season in life, or a promotion, or maybe you're praying about relocation, or your business to grow, and you feel like you've been praying for this, and you're about ready to ride this ride, and then he's like, you must be this tall to ride. I don't know about you, but I've felt rejected in my life. And I don't know if this is maybe going to encourage you, but I hope it does. But I want to let you know today that we're going to spend this whole message talking about that rejection and how it's actually for you and not against you. Because if I can break that myth that God's rejection is because he doesn't love you, I want to let you know that that's not the case. And let me be very clear. God does not reject people. Let me say this. God does not reject the requester. Maybe he'll reject the request. His scripture is very blatant that he doesn't reject us. So I'm not saying God's rejected you. I'm just saying maybe you've been praying for something and you felt rejected because you haven't stepped into the thing you've been praying for yet and what you're excited about. And so I want to talk about that as we call this the rejection seat. And also, rejection is also not sickness. It's not disease. Oh, God didn't want me to do this yet because he gave me this sickness. That is not from the Bible. That is from the pit of hell. Jesus is a healer. He does not go to the cross to heal us from our sickness, to give us sickness. That's not Jesus. That's not what he does. But he may not answer our prayers the way we think we would do. As we see in Exodus, they thought that the right route was the main road. And God said, nope, you're going a different way. So the first thing we know about rejection is this. Today's rejection could be tomorrow's protection. You see, I thought about that as a father. I remember when I was younger, I was a short little dude. My girl's actually tall, but I was short. So, like, me and my cousin would stuff our socks to ride rides at Indiana Beach. That's how short I was. Like, I remember waiting for that day. Like, I don't even know if there's some rides I can still ride. I'm like, I'm still waiting, guys. Like, I'll get there someday. And I've been there before. I've known that frustration. I've known that rejection. But I was there at her age. But being her father, I remember how relieved I was knowing they said, sorry, darling, you can't ride this. I was like, thank God, because I don't want her to fly out of that thing and get seriously hurt. You see, from her point of view, she felt rejected. But from my point of view, it was for her protection. You see, I look at the scripture, and we look again in Exodus 13. He said that they wanted to go the short route. Right? We always want to go the short route. We want the microwave. We don't want the crock pot. We want to get to where we need to be right now. And God says, I want to do some things in you first. This says this again, Exodus. When Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. God said, if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness. What is he doing? He was saying, I'm going to reject the way you think you need to go because there's something you don't see that's going to hurt you if I allow you to go into it. This is for someone today that has feel rejected. God is just answering your prayer of protection. God, why won't you give me that person? Because you first prayed, Lord, protect me. I don't know if you can see the similarities here, but the same way that I was thankful that that carnival operator said, honey, you can't ride this ride, I knew it was for her protection, not just for rejection. And maybe God hasn't opened a door in your life yet because you're just not that tall to ride. And if you start riding it, it may fling you off the ride. Your marriage may get derailed. You may love money more than God. You may run into some things. He says, I love you so much to bless you with that right now. My protection is underway. I'm not rejecting you. I'm protecting you. And can we stop complaining about the people who are rejecting us and start thanking God for protecting us, for what he has protected us from? We got to change our mindsets today. It's so quiet in here. I knew this is what's going to happen when we talked about rejection. You see, I thought about this. We were on our way to Six Flags, and me and my wife surprised me. She said, I know it's not Father's Day yet, but boy, I know you, and I got you Six Flags tickets. And I was like, you do know me, girl. Like, Sean, Father's Day is in a couple weeks. And I was like, yeah, but she knows me so well that I am not going to Six Flags in the summertime because it is crazy. So we went in a time where we could get on the rides within 15 minutes. Like, you don't even need a flash pass. You can just get on there. And so she took me, and on our way there, we were driving, and we were following the GPS. And as we were following the GPS, I know you truck drivers are judging me now. Who needs GPS? I do. And so we were following the GPS, and it started to get a little heavy traffic. And the next thing we know, it said, take exit here. And I'm like, but we're on the main road. Like, this road's going to take me to Six Flags, where I want to be at, so I can scream my head off on the Raging Bull. I want to stay on here. And he says, please get off on this exit. And I was like, I might as well just listen. So I took the exit, and we went off the exit. We had to wait for a while, and then we were, like, going through this, like, little town area. And then sure enough, it was like, take the turn here. And it was like, get back on this road. I'm like, that was the road we just got off. I'm like, babe, we're getting a new phone. We're getting a new phone. And as I was pulling on, I looked at that, and I realized this, like, deep red marker in between. See, what had happened was when we were driving, our GPS knows when an accident happens or when a lane is closed. And so when the lane's closed, it says, I'm going to send you another way. And you may not know where you are or where you're going, but trust me, I see what you cannot see. Yeah, you're welcome for that. Some of you are already there, like, yeah. What if maybe God is saying, listen, I know you really wanted to date that boy, but trust me, what you see is this guy with the washboard abs, but I can see a little bit further up. He's not going to treat you like an angel. He's not going to protect you the way God wants to protect you. I know you want it now, but I can see some things if you would trust me. Oh, I know you want to take that promotion right now. I know you really need it. It seems like the main road, but I see some things that you don't see. I see some long hours and some sad kids who don't have their father at home because you took the job. If you would just trust me that when I rejected you that promotion, I was protecting your family time so you would not be a deadbeat. Oh, come on. It's not about. He sees some things ahead. What if the reason he's rejected you because he says, hey, I see what's going on up there. There's a lane closure. There's some things that now listen, if you find yourself in a lane closure, God can still work through it. It's just going to take longer. Patience actually saves you time. Because I remember I've been in something 5 times because I didn't have patience. If I would have just listened the first time, I would have got through it the first time. Patience saves you time. And I was looking at this GPS thing. I felt there's just other people who are looking for these jobs or looking for these people. But God says, I see some things ahead of you, and today's rejection may just be tomorrow's rejection. And I went back to my high school years, and I felt like I got rejected everywhere I went. I felt like I didn't fit in. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what was happening. God was closing doors in my life, but I didn't see it like that. I just felt like, what is going on? And then I realized I have a praying mom and a praying grandma, and he said, listen, I know right now you don't understand why you feel rejected, but I'm going to tell you something. You're going to end up in Bible school, and I'm going to protect you, and the things I would have done could it end up killing me, but because God kept me on the right track, it may felt like rejection, but it was protection the whole way. And now I look back and say, I'm not going to complain about rejection anymore. I'm going to thank God for the protection he has placed on my life, that he is up to something, that he is working in my favor. And I may not have what I want now, but I know he sees something I don't see, and your God sees something that you may not see. And the very reason why you may have not gotten that promotion, the very reason why you may have not gotten that thing, it might just be for your protection. So our response is we should stop getting mad at the person who's rejecting us and start thanking God for protecting us. I'm thankful for the house I'm in now, not the one that we were rejected with because there were some problems with it. I'm thankful that God has allowed me to go through a season of rejection. Why? Because I found out later that that girl was crazy. He was protecting me. And just maybe you're in a season of unanswered prayer and going the long way because God sees something you don't see. Can we trust him? Can we trust him? Hey, can you worship when you're going the long way and not just the short way? Can you trust him when you don't have the girl as much as when you have the girl? Can you worship even though you haven't got the promotion yet, like you got the promotion? Come on, can you worship in the hardest times? Because worship's not for when everything's going good. It's saying, God, I trust you when everything's going bad. You're here to protect me. Some of you are on that route right now, and I just wanted to encourage you today. Maybe God's protecting you. Maybe I just want to change your perspective today. I've seen God's protection in my life through rejection so many times. The second thing is this. Rejection is an opportunity for transformation. Rejection is an opportunity for transformation. Here's the truth. The operator of the ride did not tell my daughter, you can never ride this ride. Like, you will never be able. That's not what he said. I think the correct way that maybe God may answer us sometimes is not, you cannot ride this ride. I think he says something like this. Like, if I looked at my daughter, I'd be like, honey, you can definitely ride this ride when you're this tall. It's a little different. Like, Sean, it's the same thing. No. He never said, you can never ride this ride. I think sometimes we think God says no when he says yes, but it will take time. As soon as we get rejected, we think that the blessing's never coming. He says, no, it's not that it's never coming. It's just that you're not ready to get on it yet. He's not maybe saying no. And what happens is when he says no, we feel defeated and we give up. And he says, no, the reason why I rejected you is not so you could shrink back. It's so that you could grow up. And when you grow up, then you can step into the thing I have you. It may be a no now, but it'll be a yes later. Don't let this defeat your faith. Don't let this defeat your faith. It was some of us, every time we feel rejection, we just quit. We just quit. Some of you are like, yeah, millennials, that's me. It's easy to quit. We live in a generation where if that job didn't work out, I'll quit. But I have nothing, no house, no anything. Maybe the answer isn't quitting. Maybe the answer is staying in the season until you grow so you can step into the next one. I remember when I was... This is free for you. I was working at County Market. That's right. 16 years old. I was a parceler. I probably bagged some of your bags. You're welcome. I did that. And I remember I was working, and I loved, my dad taught me how to have to work hard, and so whatever I did it the best I could, and so I would talk with people, encourage people, and so I would just work there. I know it was County Market, and some people are like, oh, County Market. Like, you know, I was a high school kid, and it worked. And as I was working, I turned 18, and before I was 18, the manager at Family Video would come in, and I would bag his groceries, and finally, I mean, I would talk to him and make jokes with him and bag his groceries and do all these things, and finally, one day, he looked at me and said, hey, how old are you? I said, I'm 17. He said, hey, when you turn 18, call me up. I got a job for you. See, what had happened was if I would have just been like, oh, County Market sucks. I don't care about this job. I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm going to pick my boogers and blah, 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 blah. That's what he sound like. He sound like a child. Oh, they don't care about me. They don't. Blah, I'm not gonna milk. I'm gonna whatever. I'm gonna go hang out back here. And you have this bad attitude. The people who are waiting in your next season won't even notice it. But because I worked in the season God had me with, someone said, I see something that he's working on. And just maybe God says, I'm looking for people who will grow in the season they have, because the next thing I have for you can't contain it if you're not gonna work in it. You keep complaining in this season. See. My heart for this is to be like, if God has greater things for us as we get taller and grow into the things he has for us, I want to grow as fast as possible. Because if he has more for me, because I've already experienced what he has for me, I don't want to stop growing. The operator said, no, you can never ride. He just said, no, until you're this tall, then you can ride. And I thought about the story in the scripture. The Israelites were actually slaves for 430 years. Listen, slaves. They were in binds. They were whipped. Some of them were killed. They were beaten. They were flogged to work for Pharaoh. For 430 years, they lived in a poverty mindset. They lived this limitation. They said, we will never be bigger than this. And so they were in a feeble, weak position. And God said, I'm going to lead you to the promised land. And as they went out, he said, they're not ready for battle yet. Why? Because they still have a slave mentality, not a soldier mentality. God does not want us to step into a new season to be slaves to it. He wants us to step into a new season to be soldiers in it so we can take more for the kingdom of God. He says, I'm not going to allow them to step into a situation that's going to enslave them. I'm telling you, I prayed for a church of 500 the second year in. I am so thankful we stayed at 150 because it would have killed me. It would have killed my marriage. It would have killed my family. But God was protecting me. He says, Sean, I don't want the next season to enslave you. I want you to step into this season like a soldier. So you can say, I've grown, I've gotten stronger, and I can accomplish this. Maybe God is waiting for you to grow up before. Somebody's like, I'm just waiting for that man. Maybe instead of looking for the right one, start being the right one. Oh, if they would just do this, 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 this. You're not even doing your God time. When you get that person who loves Jesus and you're just running around doing whatever, they're going to be like, I don't even want, you're not what I'm looking for. We expect so much from other people. And God says, if you would just work on yourself and grow, I will tell you, I will take you into the things. What is he saying? I don't want you to go into a season that will enslave you. I want you to go into a season to be a soldier, which means God may be saying, I believe we mistake God's yes from God to be, or we mistake yes from God to be no, because he says, yes, we can ride, but we need to grow first. So we say, Lord, can you give me a raise? He said, yeah, I can give you a raise when you grow in your spending habits. Ouch! For me? This is for me. For me. Lord, can you please bless me with a godly spouse? Yes, when you start working on being a godly spouse. I'm just reading right now. You are praying for something your character can't withhold, and I don't want your heart to be broken. Lord, can you please heal my marriage? Yes, when you start giving God your pride and start praying for your spouse. Lord, will you grow our church? Yes, when you focus on working on getting your church healthy. Maybe God's not saying no, he's saying yes when you grow. I want to give you that promotion, but you need to figure out your schedule first. It'll break you. I want to bless you with that raise and that money for your payroll, but the way you're spending your $20 now is not going to happen. You're going to do the same thing when you have $200. He says, I want you to grow in these things. Why? Because you prayed for protection. Lord, protect me. Lord, grow me. And he's answering by saying, okay, stay in the season. Growth doesn't happen by stepping into a new season. Growth happens by staying in a mundane season and let God grow you in it so you're ready for the next one. God, if you just take me there, I'll grow. He says, if I take you there, you'll run. He says, I don't want you to step in as a slave. I want you to step in as a soldier. This is so good. I know you're taking notes. This is so good for me. I need this so much. But what happens sometimes is we think God's rejection, it defeats us. And instead of growing, we run. And that's the hard part sometimes of following Christ. Let me be very clear. You are not growing and transforming for God to love you. Not what I'm saying. God loved you before you even knew about him. He sent his son Jesus while we were sinners. This is not a legalistic message to say, I got to do this so God can do this. No. God will withhold blessings in your life because he doesn't want them to hurt you. That's love. And he says, I want you to grow. My daughter will go back to Myrtle Beach sometime and she'll be able to step on that ride when she's ready. Can I tell you, I want my daughter to enjoy that ride just as much as she does. I love seeing her laugh. I love seeing her smile. I love her going, ooh, over the hills because it's so funny. I love it. I love to see my daughter smile. Can I tell you, your God loves to see you smile. He loves to see you go through blessing, but he won't let you step into it until you're ready for it. He wants you to, but he says, I don't want you to be hurt. I don't want you to go through something you're not ready for. So he'll put you in a season where you will grow. And so if you want any more cases, just look at Michael Jordan. He wouldn't be one of the best players ever if he didn't get rejected. Kicked off the team, didn't even make the team. But instead of running away, it made him better. When God rejects you, it's for a transformation. Some of you are in a rejection season right now because God says, I want to get, yes, it's not a no, it's a yes later, but you need to grow where you are. Sean, what does that look like in my marriage right now? That means maybe you need to get out some marriage books. Maybe you need to get in a group and talk about your marriage if you want it to grow. He says, will you be faithful with what's in front of you right now before praying for the next season? I'll take care of that. You just pray. He didn't lead them in because they would have gotten scared of the fight, and he went back. I thought about the Karate Kid. I thought that was the best thing I could think of. Now, if you're in here and don't know what the Karate Kid is, I'm sorry. We are a church for everyone, but not for people who don't see the Karate Kid. If you haven't seen it, it's from the 80s. I would encourage you, go watch it. It's actually a really good movie. And there's Daniel's son and Mr. Miyagi. And you've probably heard these phrases before, but didn't know where they were from. It's from The Karate Kid. And I'm not talking about the Jackie Chan one. Don't just, like, go back to, you're like, I saw the one. No, not even good. Not good compared to Pat Morita and Daniel's son. So in this movie, Daniel's son is getting picked on because he's new in town. And as he's getting picked on, people are bullying him. He's getting beat up. And as he's getting beat up, he's feeling hurt. He's feeling rejected and stuff. And so he wants to defend himself. He wants to stand up for himself because he was trying to protect someone. And he just got his butt handed to him. And so Mr. Miyagi takes care of the hotel that he's staying at. He finds out that he knows karate. And he says, Mr. Miyagi, can you please teach me karate? I want to defend myself. And Mr. Miyagi says, what? Yeah, wash my car. He's like, I'll show you. Okay, cool. He goes, come to my house. Come to my house, and I'll show you. And when he comes, he says, sand the floor. Whatever, sand the floor. Comes back the next day, wax my cars. What is it? Whatever. He's like, no, wax on. Come on, everybody. Wax off. Wax on. Wax off. And then he comes back the next day, he goes, paint my fence. Like, right? And sure enough, Danielson's just like, okay, I've been here almost all summer. I've been taking care of this old man's chores. I'm going to give it to him. Like, first off, what in his right mind is he going to go to like a sensei and be like, I'm going to show him what's up? Like, what are you thinking, Daniel? You went to him for karate lessons and now you want to fight him. Good idea. That's a good choice. Anyways, so he goes in, he goes, listen, you have me doing all your jobs, all your chores. I just need to know what karate is. And finally, Mr. Miyagi's like, Danielson, come here. He like sits in there. He goes, now paint the fence. And he's like, no, up. Down, like my Pat Morita voice, up, down. He's like, sand the floor. He like gets down. He's like, no, stand up. He's like, sand the floor. He goes, now wax the car. Wax on, wax off, right? And then sure enough, he goes, what is this even about? And he steps back and he starts throwing blows. He's like, paint the fence. And he blocks the first one. Then he blocks the second one. He goes, wax the car. And he blocks this one. And he blocks that one. He's like, now sand the floor. And he blocks the kick. And he blocks the other thing. And everything clicks like, oh my gosh, I know karate. And what, maybe you're in a season that feels insignificant and repetitious, but I'm here to tell somebody today, God's teaching you how to fight off the enemy. You might be going through the thing you're going through, but he says, this looks so stupid. Why am I in this season? He says, I'm training you for what you're going to step into. Mom, a single mom, maybe you have a heart to help hurting girls and you're complaining about the girls you have in your house who are your daughters. He says, I'm training you how to be a mom there, so when you step into this season, you can be a mom to hurting and broken women out here too. It may seem like it's repetitious. It may seem like it's mundane and you're going through the motions, but I promise you, I'm teaching you how to be consistent even when you step into the new season. And he says, if you can worship when everything's going bad, then you can worship when the promotion comes through. I'm teaching you how to fight off these things. It turns, rejection turns into transformation. I think about this in my life and how I went through serving and going through some things in my life, and I realized that putting up the chairs and doing these things and people who want to be pastors. I mean, there's so many people who want to be pastors, but they won't do anything for people. I just want to have the stage. That's not what a pastor is at all. But if you'll learn to wax on, wax off, if you learn to put up the chairs, take down the chairs, if you learn to knock on people's doors and pray with them, if you learn to take care of that person's tab, if you learn to have a heart that's broken for people who don't know Jesus yet, if you learn to serve the inner city when you complain about, I'm talking about myself right now, and you would go and you'd give out people to homeless, how in the world? I remember going to homeless shelters. They said, Sean, we want you to preach. I was like, yes, I get to preach. Where? You're going to the Dream Center downtown Tulsa. Do I need to wear a bulletproof vest? Like, it was like one of those things. Like, it was like that rough. I was like terrified, but I was like, why there? Like, I want to be here. And I remember my pastor said, Sean, if you can't preach to the homeless, you don't deserve to preach to the church. Because Jesus came for the poor. Maybe what you're doing right now is God's training you for it. Don't overstep this area. God is transforming you. The last thing. Oh, wait. Yeah, I got to tell you what this says. Hebrews 12, 5 through 6. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. They discipline us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good. Listen, in order that we may share in his holiness. When's the last time we prayed for that? God, I want to be holy like you are holy. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have trained it. We want to share in his holiness. What does that mean? We mistake discipline as rejection, but discipline from God is an invitation. Discipline from God is not a rejection. It's an invitation to grow into everything God has for you. He says, I want you. It's not a no, it's a yes. Later. Number three is this. Rejection can lead to a different direction. Rejection can lead to a different direction. You see, in the story, they were going one way, and God says, no, you're not going to go that way. You're actually going to go the other way. And they felt rejected because how many times do we know that sometimes we think how to get from point A to point B is just through that connection. It's through that relationship. It's through that job. It's through that promotion. And we think that is the short route. And God says, no, I'm going to take you this way. And we feel rejected. And what happens is when we have rejection, it leads to a different direction. He says, no, not that way. You're going this way. And I thought about that for some people. I thought about how many times I've been rejected and how sometimes rejection is so good because it redirects your steps. I mean, I wouldn't be right here today if I didn't go through some rejection in my life. Rejection actually was a redirection for God to work. And here's the truth. If they would have went through the short route, even though it was a short route, it would have been their direction. But godly provision only goes with God's direction. He's like, you can go that way, but you're going to get soundly defeated. But if you go my way, I'll provide for you. They spent 40 years in the wilderness, and it should have taken 11 days. And I heard someone say that even in those 40 years, they never went hungry, and their shoes never ran out of tread because God blessed them. Which means this may not be the route you want to be on, and this may be a long route, and you don't like it, but thank God it's God's direction, because if it's God's direction, then there's godly provision. It may be longer. It may be harder. You may not like the person. You may not like the boss. You may not like those people in where you are right now. You may not like what path you're on, but if it's God's direction, you better believe that there's God's provision there, and I'd rather be in a hard direction with godly provision than be in my direction without godly provision. God will always show up on his direction, so you may have to make some hard calls and say, I know I want to be with that person, but God asked me to go this way, and wherever he asked me to go, he will provide. The best thing we can do is stay on godly direction, because that's where godly provision comes. And so I thought about how in my life, how I was rejected and how it redirected my life. And then I thought about the story, and I thought about where God led them, but I want to bring that back full circle in a second. But there's a story in the Bible where Jesus actually rejects a request from a demon-possessed man. He goes to this place with his disciples. There's this guy who is possessed with demons. He's got seven. It's called Legion, which means he was possessed by many demons. He came out screaming, naked, cutting himself. And the disciples were like, Jesus, do something. Jesus, do something, right? And Jesus says, stop. And what happens in this moment is the guy stops. The demon cries out and says, Jesus, I plead. It says they pleaded. Send us into the pigs. And he said, all right. And he sent the demons into the pigs, and they go off the cliff into the water. After this, all the townspeople see what happens. They come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. We don't know who you are or what's going on, but you're too much for us to handle. You're extra. Can you please leave? They asked him to leave because they were terrified of how strong he was. They pleaded with him, begged him, can you leave? He said, I'll leave. And he was going to leave. As he was leaving, this is what happens to the demon-possessed guy. Mark 5:18-20. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis, which is the 10 cities, how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. You may have missed it, but Jesus listened to the demons' request, listened to the townspeople's request, and then the guy who was healed by Jesus says, Lord, can I go with you? He goes, no. Wait a second. You listened to the demons. You said, send us to the pigs. And you sent them to the pigs. And then the townspeople came and said, leave. He said, I'll leave. And then this guy comes and says, I want to go with you. He says, no. No. Rejection. Rejection. But Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to go with where you're going. And Jesus said these words. He said, no, you need to stay where you are. You need to stay in the season you're in right now. You need to stay right here in your hometown. Why? Because I want you to preach the gospel here. Meaning, there's more I want to do in you in this season. Maybe the word for some people today is you're right where you need to be. See, my daughter didn't leave the park after she couldn't ride that ride. She found other rides to ride. She looked for all the rides. We looked for all the rides that she could ride on, that she didn't need this tall to ride. If she would have left because of that one sign, she would have missed out on the other 10 rides that she could have rode. And God said, there's some more rides that I want you to ride in this season. I want some more things I want to accomplish in you. Don't let this rejection here prevent you from what I want to accomplish with you right here. What happens is we snooze through the seasons God has us for, and there's people attached to that. There's life change attached to that. And maybe Jesus says, no, but stay here because I want you to preach here. I was preparing this message and I felt in my heart that that was people today, that you have felt rejected and he's protecting you. He wants you to grow where you are. And I just really felt in my heart to tell some people today, you got more to accomplish with where you are right now. You're praying for the next season. God says, I want to accomplish more in you right now. But the thing that you have to do is you have to give that up to God. You have to trust him. See, this dude didn't go with Jesus, but he didn't go and cry. He went and proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you where true freedom comes from? Learning to get everything out of a season you're in, no matter where you are at. Well, my family's not where I want it to be, but I'm going to do exactly what I can do to make this season the best season yet. I may not have the job I want to have, but I'm going to go in and make sure I share some light and love with Jesus Christ no matter where I find myself. I may not be like where I want to be at, but I know that God has put something in me that's greater than the things that are against me. And if he hasn't opened the door yet there, that means he wants me to accomplish more something here. And I'm telling you today that there's some people who have gotten a hard no. And he's not saying it's not a no now, it's a yes later. But I have to accomplish some things in your job place. I have to accomplish some things in your marriage. I have to accomplish some things in your church, Sean. I have to accomplish some things in your area, Sean. I have to accomplish some things. So while you're praying for the next season, don't miss out on what I want to do in this season. Don't miss out on what God wants to do in this season. It's a beautiful thing. It truly is. At the end of Jesus' life, before he went to the cross, we see him in the garden. And Jesus is praying to God before he actually has to go to the cross for our sins. And this is what Jesus prays. He actually gets rejected by his Father. It says, he walked away about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Meaning, can you just take this? This is really heavy. But listen, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. Maybe that needs to be our prayer today. Lord, if you are willing, take this. But otherwise, your will be done. Jesus, in this moment, God said, no, you need to take this suffering. And Jesus was rejected for you and I's protection. Jesus was rejected so he could send the Holy Spirit for your transformation. And Jesus was rejected because he had more to accomplish in you and I, and it was a redirection for your life. Some of you were on your way to hell, and because Jesus was rejected and he took the cup of suffering, you were redirected to heaven. You were redirected to the watery grave. You were redirected to life in Christ. And here's the kicker. The Israelites were led the long way. And what would happen if they went the short way, they would have skipped past the Red Sea. But Jesus, God led them to the Red Sea, which trapped them in between two enemies. God led them to a trap. But this wasn't a trap on the Israelites. This was a trap for the Pharaoh and his Egyptians. And maybe God has led you a different way because he wants your fears to drown in the Red Sea. Maybe he's taking you a different way because he wants your anxiety to drown in the Red Sea. He says, you may not make sense, but I'll make a way where there is no way. Just trust me and I will drown your enemy. He's directing your steps. He's taking you where you need to be. I don't know where you are today, but if you're here and this has spoken to you, says, Sean, I'm waiting and I don't like it, but I need to grow. Would you stand up on your feet with me? Because I'm in that season too. And would you declare as we sing this song that Jesus is in control, that he is no rival against him, that he will stand against. Come on, let's declare it today that we will be a church who says we will wait for what God has for us, but we will continue to grow in everything he has. Come on, church, let's not sit and stare. Let's give it to God right now. Wow. Before we dismiss, what you just witnessed are people who a few weeks ago, they were separated from God. They came into this place, they said, I need a desperate relationship with Jesus. It doesn't mean that everything changes overnight, but one thing does change. You go from death to life. You're no longer headed towards eternal destruction, but you're in God, you're in Christ, and you are now the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus, meaning you are now in right standing with your Father. Our sins separated us. Jesus' death on the cross brings us in, and he rose out of the grave to give us the Holy Spirit to empower us to live that out. And there's some people who just witnessed here, and you're not here by accident. You need to make that decision today. Before you leave, you need to make that decision today because Jesus has drawn you here. It doesn't matter. I need to clean up before. Hey, let's hold these up 1 second, guys. Let's hold them up 1 second. I just want to encourage you that if you're here today, First off, thank you guys. You guys are incredible for mopping it up. You guys are on top of it. We should give it up with all our volunteers. But I just want to take a moment to say, if that's you today, say, Sean, what do I need to do to be saved? We're going to pray a prayer, and you're going to believe it in your heart. And with faith, you are saved. What do you mean? That's all? That's it. Jesus did the work, not you. You just have to do it by faith. So we're going to pray together, but if you need to pray that for the first time, repeat after me with them in your heart. Everyone say, Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sin and my shame. I choose you today. I want a relationship with Christ. I want to start brand new today. I want to forget about my past. I want it behind me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. What I'm going to do at